The Godcast you're about to listen to is being rebroadcast for the Best of a History with God Godcast. Enjoy and stay blessed. 2014, the year of victory over death and the manifestation of love. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald.
Hey everyone, this is Tim, and I'm here with Christina Sasso.
Hi.
Hello. And we're going to be doing a podcast about the importance of women in ministry, and how that came about is Frank gave me a phone call one time, and he asked me to do a podcast with Christina. He said that he thought it would be cool, and I agreed. And so I got off the phone, and I prayed about what we should talk about, and pretty much immediately the Holy Spirit, the importance of women in ministry. There was no way in my mind that I would come up with that. I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and then the more I got into it, the more I started to see, man, this is a really powerful topic. I didn't feel here like he said it, but I felt like he was impressing upon me. Like there was a correlation between Holy Spirit not being embraced and women in ministry not being embraced. And what was coming back to me is a while ago, I brought up the topic in my small group about how to have intimacy with Holy Spirit, how to have fellowship. That's, you know, that whole Godcast that we did.
Right.
And it was really good. When I brought it up, everybody didn't want to do it. You know, they were okay with worshiping God, they were okay with worshiping Jesus, but it's just the Holy Spirit. And I don't like to glorify Satan by talking about him, but I really saw it was, if I was in a battle, I think that's what I would do. I would go after the intimacy part, you know what I mean? The Holy Spirit part, you know, the Father is so protective. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, don't vex the Holy Spirit, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They're very protective, the Father and the Son, of Holy Spirit. And that, and the bringing down of women. But in the video, the translation of the Bible from the Greek and the Hebrew was in the 1400s or 1500s.
Right.
Because of that time period, it says a lot of things in the Bible about women not being able to preach. The word coming out of that time, they were trying to bring them down. You know, he's trying to make the importance of being intimate with Holy Spirit and women coming and co-leading. He was going after that.
Right.
And what I also saw was that men didn't do... Because the Father, because we're built in His image, the Father and the Son are very protective of Holy Spirit. We're to be, as men, the same protective over women in ministry also. Does that make sense? Or?
Yeah, so at that time, the enemy went after that position of
right?
man.
Planting seeds.
Right, and kind of corrupted it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so from 1600 to
really
in 2013.
Right.
And that the struggle of women's equality. I'm not saying to be a feminist, but just the fact that a woman wasn't property anymore.
Right.
Like, really, she could be treated as if she was a piece of ownership.
Where we're headed to as a church, we have to have the input of the women. We have to have the co-laboring, you know, to enter into the fullness of what He has for us, that women have to start arising.
Right. The fact that women in the time of Jesus and before actually had more authority and responsibility than they did, like, in the time of Henry VIII.
Right.
Which you would think we would have progressed from there, but actually we went backwards.
Yeah,
so I think the enemy saw the power of that co-leadership, that co-dominion, and he attacked it and then was successful for a time in corrupting it.
And we were talking before, it's like, it's not even like I heard a message of that women shouldn't do this, or, you know, all the do's and don'ts of women, you know what I mean? It just seems like we're here, you know? It's just been accepted for so long, for so many years.
Well, when Frank had first suggested, oh, not suggested, when Frank had first said that you had the topic, and I said, ooh, what is it? And then Frank said, women in ministry. And I went, ugh. Like, I really was not thrilled about that,
right?
Because that put in my mind almost every, like, women's advance I'd ever been to,
right?
Which to me was really, like, lame. for lack of a better word. Really, we had talked about this on the Q&A, but it's like, how to please your husband, how to be a good wife, how to be... It's like, really? Is that what we've been relegated to? Just be a good companion and a good... I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, you want to be all that, but I think God has more for women than just to be someone to make the coffee and the cover dish.
Right.
When you suggested the video, which is... The name of the video is Women in Ministry, and the man preaching is Dennis Walker. And we have that on the website right now, so I really encourage you to check it out, because when I watched it, it totally changed my mind about this topic, because I think this is going to really set some people free.
Yeah, it was fun, because I was like, I had no idea like what we were getting into. Mm-hmm. And so when I looked up, I started looking it up, I found that video and I was like, man, this is really good. Like you said, it kind of starts out slow. And he starts talking about authority, from functional authority mm-hmm. and positional authority. And the more I listen to it, the more it starts to make sense.
Yeah.
And I think part of what went awry was that men were operating out of positional authority
mm-hmm.
and to order to cover their, mm-hmm. so that women wouldn't arise, because they were threatened probably by, you know, mm-hmm. the leadership of the women. And so.
Yeah. I felt the same way when I first started watching it. I was going, okay, I'm not sure where he's going with this. And then he brought it all together, right?
Yeah.
He kind of... So maybe we should talk about the difference between positional authority and functional authority.
Well, what were you getting?
It made a lot of sense when he talked about positional authority being almost like having the name or the title
right.
and getting your authority from your title.
Right. That's right. That's how I saw it.
And it becomes almost like a dictatorship.
Yep.
Where there's rules and regulations and you just shut up, you follow the rules because I said so.
Right.
And for me, if someone does that to me, I immediately go into, oh, really? Now I'm going to do the opposite.
Right.
Everything you say, right. I'm going to do the opposite.
Well, because it seems like the positional authority has to do with levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm here, you're here,
yeah.
you have to listen to me because I'm higher.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not about leading. It's not about, you know,
yes.
the co-laboring.
It's like, not about leadership.
Yeah, it's about, you know, again, it's subverting. You know, it's
right.
the you're coming under. Wives must submit to their husbands kind
right.
of thing. And it's
right.
it's mm-hmm. just the translation from, you know, and Dennis goes into it, I think, beautifully. He takes the Greek and he really...
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, gets into the original meaning, which is good. You see it in a whole different light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was interesting when he said, when you're operating from positional authority, what happens is you have chaos.
Right.
And he said Lucifer wanted positional authority.
Right.
He wanted to be ahead of God, the dictator over God. And that's what chaos ensued. He wanted God's position. Authority based on position, not function, leads to chaos and death. And then he gave the examples like in a dictatorship or a monarchy. And then he even said in some churches or in some marriages. How would you describe functional authority?
Kind of like the Trinity. You know, you have the Father and his function. He's kind of like leading everything. He's like the, you know, he's the overseer,
mm-hmm.
keeping things in order. And then there's Jesus. He's the Lamb. He's the Savior. He's our intercessor. You know, he intercedes for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the Holy Spirit, who's wisdom and revelation, counsel and might. He's the counselor. He's the convictor. You know what I mean? But they're all the same. They're
mm-hmm.
all equal. And does that make sense? It's
yeah.
like mm-hmm. a functional thing. And they all honor each other.
Right.
Maybe that's the big thing. And
mm-hmm.
I think he gets into it too. With functional or positional, it's always, you're always trying to prove yourself.
Right.
And, you know, always bringing the other person down. I'm here because, you know, this is my position. There's no co-honoring. You're trying to...
Because you're going to have rebellion.
Right. And I wonder if it's because women are created to co-lead. If man comes from that positional thing, the natural leadership in the women that's there, that's been subverted, wants to rise up and say, no, it's not how it's supposed to be. But it's almost like we don't know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about it at Starbucks the other night. It's like, oh, that's a great word, but what does it look like?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I think as we start, as men start to protect women and enable them to come into their co-laboring thing or co-dominion, as it says in, what does it say in Genesis?
Genesis 1:26-28 is, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. See,
that's
it says man and woman. In this translation, it says man. And then it says, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, oh, here it is, male and female. So when he's talking about man, he's talking about the species of man,
right.
Human beings.
Right.
And then he specifically says in 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So he's talking about men and women. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So that was that scripture. Co-dominion.
Right.
Co-leadership. Co-laborers. Men aren't head over women.
Right.
Their head over their family.
Right.
The women in their family, not women in the world.
Right. And again, like that headship, it's not the dominion. It's the final stamp. It's like, it's just the functional thing, you know?
Yeah, and then he says, come, sit. And he goes through each example. Like God said, Jesus, come on, sit on the throne with me. Let's rule together.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says to man, come, sit on the throne with me. Let us rule together. Husbands say to their wives, come, sit on the throne with me. Let us make these decisions together. Let's rule together.
Yeah.
And that's very loving.
Yeah.
Then you see the heart of God in that. That sounds like God.
Well, that's why I think it doesn't implode. It doesn't,
right.
You know, because it has nothing to do with position. It's all functional. It's
right.
To honor, you know, I'm honoring you. In fact, it's the man's position to honor the wife. I think that it's the wife who responds to that honoring. You know, it's as husbands, not over their wives, but, you know, we have to relearn how to talk.
It's
like, just wordsy, you know what I mean? It's just that they, you know, the more you get into us, it's like, I'm changing the way I think now, you know what I mean? It's not like I purpose to think that way, it's just, you're brought up into a society and you start thinking that way.
Right.
You know, it's, the men are supposed to be, you know, they say the spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
As we lead and we honor, you guys respond to that leading and the honoring, and then it's the co-leading and the co-honoring, and it's...
Right.
Yep.
And I think that when you have a couple that's a man and wife, and there's, you know, you're in the Word, you're walking it out, maybe you have a ministry together, maybe you're just raising a family, whatever, the wife is going to bring something to the table that the husband is not going to bring to the table, and vice versa. The husband's going to have something that the wife... So together, there's where the power is, because they're each bringing their own special piece, and you have to allow that to have fruition in both sexes, male and female.
He makes an interesting point in that he goes, one of the main things for a pastor to do is to nurture. Like a lot of the attributes that God placed in, I believe, Holy Spirit, and then they're also in the women, then being the birthers, the nurturers, the raising up, and that's one of the main positions of the church, the pastor.
Right.
And so if he's coming from the whole left brain, right brain thing, you know, if he's more right brain and more the analytical side, he's not bringing the nurturing side. And so a lot of what's going on in the church is not that it's not biblical, it's not, you're just not entering into all the fullness that he has for you.
Right, right. Something that really impacted me a lot, like Frank had said to me, what did you think about these scriptures before? Like the certain problem scriptures?
Right.
And I said, well, I just ignored them.
Right.
Because if I didn't understand it, I wasn't going to like beat myself up over it. I just kind of put it to the side. It wasn't like I cut it out of the Bible. And I just said, you know what? I got to wait until I have an understanding of this. It just doesn't make sense to me. If I read this scripture, it sounds like God's contradicting himself.
Right.
And I know he doesn't do that. So I just kind of set it aside.
Right.
So what I really enjoyed was that he went through those scriptures that would seem like they say...
Right. Well, you want to touch on one or two of them?
Sure. Well, he leads up to that by giving all the examples in Scripture where God wants women in leadership, like Deborah, where she was basically a prime minister.
Right.
She was a prophetess, and she would give it. She was a judge, she was chosen by God, and then all these other examples. And I really encourage everyone to just watch the video because there's so much good information there.
Several times and take notes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot to digest.
And how women in the New Testament were right there in the...
Yep.
One of them that he was talking about was Lydia. She was the first pastor
in
Philippi. You know, and I've heard people say, women should not be pastors. Well, yeah. It's in the scripture.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he leads up and saying, okay, God's saying all this, then how can he say women should be silent in church and not say a word and they shouldn't do this and they shouldn't
right.
do that? Well, then that's, there's something wrong there when there's a contradiction.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those problem scriptures.
Because they're going to set you free.
Yes.
It's going to set women free. See, I think the purpose in this is that the Lord wants to do a move. He wants to do a new thing. He wants his church to become more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like an engine that isn't firing on all cylinders.
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah, it's running. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's working. We're getting things done. But because we're not co-laboring, there's been this whole subversion of women not being pastors, or you can't preach, or you mm-hmm. can't raise the dead. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's
right.
like, because you're not doing those things, and you're not, a lot of the attributes of the woman are be perfect for. That's why you raise the kids.
Right.
You know, the men, you know, typically would be doing the work, and the woman is raising up of mm-hmm. of the children, because you're imparting to those attributes.
Right,
you know?
Right. You're right. It's like the church is not functioning efficiently right. because right. not everybody is playing right. the correct parts
right.
that they should be playing.
Right.
The body's kind of
right.
like lost an arm
right.
or a foot or
right.
something. But so the first scripture he gave was 1 Corinthians 14:34. Now I'm reading this out of the NIV. As in all congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the scriptures that I ignored. For, you know, I just kind of set it aside.
Right.
It's like, I'll deal with that some other time. But then he gives another scripture that seems to contradict that. It says, and everyone, okay, so this is 1 Corinthians 11:5. And every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. So he's saying here, every woman who prays or prophesies.
Right.
So obviously that's okay for a woman
right.
to pray and prophesy, but then yet it says, well, women should keep silent. So, okay, here's the contradiction.
They would be having meetings, and because the women weren't involved in the meetings that much, they didn't really know as much as the men.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because of that time period... And they would, in the middle of the meeting, and they'd stand up and they'd ask the question that the men already knew, but it was, that's what Paul was addressing. It wasn't for them to be silent. It was they were interrupting their home meetings, you
right,
know, their
right.
home group
mm-hmm.
meetings. And so it was never meant to say, hey, stop talking, you can't prophesy or anything. You know, it wasn't even a correction word. It was just like, hey, because, you know, at home, it's okay.
The way he describes it is that you have to put things in context.
Yeah.
Of what's going on. So you have this group of people in a home group, say,
right.
and somebody's talking and the wife's going, hey, wait a minute, I got a question. Wait, what did you mean by that? Can
right.
you tell me that?
Right.
And all Paul is saying is, can we just have some kind of order? Hold your questions to the end.
Right.
Ask your husband at home just so that we don't interrupt the flow of the meeting.
Right.
And what Dennis Walker does is he actually goes into the translations and he actually translates these words correctly. And to be honest with you, I don't even know what those Greek words are. So I really encourage you to watch the video and then you can actually research it on your own.
Right.
But the word woman was mistranslated and the actual word means wives. And the word speak was mistranslated. The word that was actually in the Greek means to call out in a loud voice.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul
good.
Is just trying to deal with order in the
right.
service.
Well, how many times have you been like, you know, and you know when you get on a roll, I always say, I know when I'm plowing
mm-hmm.
and I'm just trying to come up with stuff, but I know when I'm flowing. You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just like, it's like I'm hearing it and it's coming out at
mm-hmm.
the same time. And somebody will say something or something will happen and you get distracted and you're just like...
Yeah, you just got derailed.
You don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You just got derailed, you know,
yeah.
and I think that's probably what was happening. You know,
mm-hmm.
things were, revelation was coming out. It was probably powerful, and they're, like, enjoying their meeting.
Right.
And they had to stop to, you know, put the brakes on to...
I just picture those wives, like, honey, what is he saying? I missed that.
But all from the basis of hunger.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, it was probably perfect. I mean,
right.
it was like...
Right. And then the next... problem scripture is 1 Timothy 2:11-12. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. See, I'm just reading that, and I'm getting a little annoyed. And I know, I know that that's the translator, right, and all. Right. But you see what it does?
Yeah.
It just makes you angry.
Right, because it's not your intended purpose.
That's not God's heart.
No, well, I think it's partly righteous anger, though, too. Like, what's
maybe
coming out of you, you know? I mean, it's like, man, it's just wrong.
Yeah.
You know, especially now coming from, you know, once you hear, see, the truth sets you free.
Right.
Right? So you heard the truth, that's being in you.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I think what, you'd allow me to say maybe what's going through your heart anyway, if you were to process it, is that you see the whole effect of that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was this written? And look at the damage that it's done
right
up until this point. And I think that's what rises up in you. I think that's the heart of God. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the Holy Spirit saying,
right,
this is wrong. And I think that's why we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, just in the same way that the Satan tried to bring me down, because he realized the importance of intimacy with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He realized the importance of the man and the woman co-laboring.
Right.
And you know, look at the power of this Godcast,
mm-hmm.
because you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Bringing a different perspective on it. It's, you know, it wouldn't be as fun, or I think as impactful, if it was just me talking about it. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like.
So what Dennis was saying in the video is he is taking the words that were in that scripture, which is silence,
right,
again, mistranslated from the Greek. It doesn't mean silence and be quiet.
Right.
The actual Greek word means do not meddle.
Yep.
In others' affairs.
Yep.
Yeah, that I would agree with.
Right.
Even though maybe I'm guilty of it myself, but it's that you could say, oh, that makes sense. So it's not the word silence. It's not to be quiet. It's actually do not meddle in others' affairs. And the word submission, as used in the scripture, but in the Greek, it was actually the actual translation of that word, a troop formation, cooperation, people carrying their own weight, people doing their part. It's a military term of people lining up in order and pulling their weight and
yeah.
doing their part.
Yeah.
So that totally changes the the perspective
yeah.
of that scripture.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is actually Paul's dealing with a problem, maybe a problem person
mm-hmm.
that's been meddling in people's
yeah.
affairs, and saying to Timothy, tell this person to stop minding everyone else's business
right.
and get in line and do what that person is supposed to be doing.
Yeah, as soon as, you know, when you read scripture and it contradicts with other scripture, you got to find out, you know what I mean? You got to do some more digging
mm-hmm.
into it. And so when you hear that God will pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Right, right.
You know, and Bill
mm-hmm.
Johnson, and he even says it here. You look up the word all in the Greek and it means all.
All, right.
So why would God pour out his spirit on all flesh just to say, you know.
No, not you.
Yeah, not
yeah.
you. Everybody but you.
Right. And then the word teach also was mistranslated. The word in the Greek actually means to set doctrine. So really, in that scripture, Paul is talking to men and women.
Yeah.
Because at that point, doctrine had already been set by the apostles.
Right.
We shouldn't be messing with doctrine at this point or at that point. Doctrine is already set, and it's just a matter of following the doctrine that's already been set, which was actually handed down from Jesus
yeah.
to the apostles. So he's talking to men or women in that scripture.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it would apply to both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is where you get, because in the time that the scriptures were translated from the Greek and the Hebrew,
mm-hmm.
because of the women not being in such high esteem at that time,
mm-hmm.
you get this, you know, infiltration
mm-hmm.
in the translation. Now,
right.
somebody might say, well, yeah, that's why it's all open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the NIV,
right.
you know, maybe the translation, but in the original Greek, it's
that's
a whole...
That's what the word
yeah.
meant, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, the hard part is, like, if our word was all in the Greek, when you look up the Greek words and the Hebrew words, a lot of times it doesn't always have one meaning.
Mm-hmm.
It can mean a lot of different things. Like,
right.
you know, our
mm-hmm.
word for love, you know, we
right.
use for husband and wife, and I love my dog, and
right.
I love
my
candy.
Car.
Yeah.
Ooh, I love this steak.
But agape is like, you know,
yeah.
it's a huge long
right.
list of things.
Right.
It's much more deep. It's a much, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
all these different, you know, the phileo love and, you know,
mm-hmm.
they got by agape love and the eros love. And
right, right.
Storge love and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's not like English, which is so limited.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I always try to do is when God's highlighting something is I always try to look up in the importance
mm-hmm.
with the Greek, because it almost always goes more deeper. Sometimes you'll get all means all, but
right, right.
a lot of times it's like, oh, it, you know,
mm-hmm.
you start to see it in a much clearer light.
Yes. Oh, and here's the last, I think it's the last scripture I have. This one is the one that we mentioned at the beginning. It's 1 Corinthians 11:3. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Again, woman was translated there, it should be actually wife. That's the chain of authority again, like that we were talking about in the very beginning, the headship God.
Yep.
Come and sit with me, rule with me. And God and Christ saying that to men, and then men saying that to their wives.
Yep.
So I guess his advice at the end was to, he was speaking to men in particular, to elevate your wife to be an equal, to sit together, to minister together, to function together, co-dominion.
Yep. This is where I started to see me and men in general have failed to protect. As the Father protected, very protective of Holy Spirit, we should be the same protecting of the women. You know, because of your nature. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the sensitive nature. It's the loving nature. It's the pastoring. You know, it's the raising up. What I would like to do is maybe delve into a little bit of what women can do to enter into a higher level. Like maybe things that you've been doing. And, you know, some insight that I've seen, that, or maybe even things that I can do, and just for the raising up of women. What, you know, like, what now? What is it, you know, that I heard, I think it was a different message, but that we're coming into a season, in fact, we're now there, where mantles are being released, like the Catherine, I don't know, does he say it, but it's like the Catherine Colemans, the Amy Simple McPhersons, and those type, and the Esther type anointings to for women. They're mantles that are becoming available. Right. And it's like John G. Lake, I think it was 2 years that he laid on the grave of another guy who had a healing anointing.
Right, yeah.
A healing mantle. It's the Elisha hanging out with Elijah to lay hold of something. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's, what do women do now?
Coming up next week, part two of the importance of women in ministry with me, Christina Sasso, and Tim McDonald. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.